solving community problems. It was in the, currently the Strategic Prevention Framework State Incentive Grant was actually money that the federal government awarded to 48 of the 50 states. Those 48 states took that money and they applied the framework to their states to see what areas were of most concern from a public health perspective. Here in the state of Alaska, they focused on youth alcohol consumption among those ages 12 to 20 and adult heavy and binge drinking among those ages 21 to 44. The state of Alaska then took that money and put out a request for proposals. Alaska Island Community Services partnered with Petersburg Mental Health Services, and we wrote a grant and we were awarded the money. We were one of six grantees in the state of Alaska. The first thing we did when we got this money was developed our super coalition. So part of this strategic prevention framework is the idea that your approach to solving your community problems are rooted in community itself. And so our super coalition is actually the driving force behind our program development. This is a list of the super coalition members in our two communities. Here in Wrangell, we have Doug McCloskey, Lou Knapp, Don as the mayor. Jeremy was, during his time, also a member on our super coalition. Rainey Privet and Rich Rhodes as the superintendent of schools. So the first step of this five-step process is a needs assessment. And what we were trying to get at was a way to, as comprehensively look as we could, look at adult heavy and binge drinking and youth alcohol consumption in our communities. And so we surveyed the heck out of anybody that would let us. We did adult alcohol perception surveys as well as youth alcohol perception surveys. We looked at community norms. We looked at consumption among adults, access among youth. And then we did a bunch of key informant interviews to follow up with that, both with law enforcement and with bar owners. And so starting with our adult perception survey, we surveyed 417 adults between Wrangell and Petersburg. This was a survey that was basically asking questions about people's perceptions of alcohol in their community. So these were individuals over the age of 21, and 216 of them were from Wrangell. The first question we asked was, what are the top three problems you see in your community caused by alcohol abuse? We took these three answers, so they were just people wrote down whatever they saw, and we categorized them into these six different categories. What we found was that high-risk behaviors was the category that received the most responses in both Wrangell and in Petersburg, followed by personal consequences, and then interpersonal violence. So high-risk behaviors were things like drinking and driving, dropping out of school. Personal consequences were things like receiving a DUI or losing a job. And then interpersonal violence was related to family violence as well as domestic violence. And the subcategory in interpersonal violence with the most responses was domestic violence, which is something that will come up later. So the next question we asked were, what are the top three strengths you see in your community to solve the problems caused by alcohol abuse? And obviously, overwhelmingly, social services was the number one response category, followed by just community, and then school. Now we did the same exact survey with youth. We were able to work with our school districts to get permission to survey the kids in the school. So every child in the middle school and high school who did not have a Do Not Survey My Child form filled out at registration was able to answer this survey. So we had 260 students total here in Wrangell. It was 47 in the high school and 70 in the middle school. We asked the exact same questions. So what are the top three problems in your community caused by alcohol abuse? High-risk behaviors was again number one, followed by interpersonal violence and personal consequences. Also, family issues was right up there when we were talking to kids. Then the same thing, what are the top three strengths you see in your community? Again, social services was huge, followed by community and school, versus in Petersburg where it was consequences, which were just basically that when people have infractions, we follow up. So next we did community norms, and this was a six-question survey where we were looking at norms around alcohol and alcohol consumption in our communities. In order to participate in the survey, the people had to have lived in their communities for a minimum of 5 years. We had seven participants in each community. And so these were yes or no questions. Is it acceptable to drink in public at this event? Is free liquor provided at this event? Are you able to purchase liquor? We were asking about general as well as community-specific events. So this survey ended up giving us a lot of information and probably a lot more than we anticipated when we developed it. Since then, the state of Alaska has asked us, and we've given our permission for them to provide it to other grantees, because it really did end up being a wealth of information when we're talking about community norms. So an example of a community-specific event is like Yule Bucking in Petersburg or Tent City Days here versus things like graduation or a wedding are general events. And what we found is that in both communities, drinking alcohol is viewed as acceptable at community-specific events. In these community-specific events, in general, you can drink in public, there's liquor provided for free or to purchase, and people often report that others drive home drunk from these community-specific events, which was not, and these differ from what we found with general events. Then we looked at adult consumption. So when we're talking about adult heavy and binge drinking, it can be kind of difficult because different people have different definitions about what heavy and binge drinking are. When we were looking at their alcohol consumption during the past 30 days, the questions that we asked did use the definition for binge drinking that the SAMHSA provides. So we surveyed, these were the same 417 adults from our perception survey. And what we found was that of those surveyed, 13.4% reported consuming 5 or more drinks of alcohol in a row on one or more of the past 30 days. And that is SAMHSA's definition of binge drinking. And 14.4% of Rango respondents did indicate that they had consumed alcohol in that way in the past 30 days. And then we looked at youth access. So we know that kids are getting alcohol, and this particular survey was meant to find out where are they getting it. So we had 47 youth who completed the survey. They had to be under 21 to complete it. And obviously, here in Rango, we had 36 of the 47 respondents, so we were seriously oversampled, which I don't think hurt us in any way. Mm-hmm. So what we found is that in both communities, most youth indicated that it was easy for them to get alcohol if they wanted it. Adult friends are the group most likely to be providing alcohol to underage youth, and overwhelmingly, individuals responded that they sneak and steal alcohol when they want it. So they're not getting it from, they're not even sneaking it and stealing it from stores, they're sneaking it and stealing it from homes and people they know. So as I said, when we were done doing all of these surveys, we followed up with some key informant interviews. We interviewed law enforcement in three law enforcement officers in each community, and we were asking questions about demographic groups who are likely to receive violations for alcohol-related offenses, and then what measures are being taken to enforce the laws against alcohol-related offenses. And what we found was that in both communities, men are most likely to be caught drinking and driving. Men under 40 are most likely to be the demographic that requires law enforcement to respond to a bar. Men buying for young girls came up as the demographic most likely to receive a violation for buying alcohol for a minor, and that was in both communities. And we actually thought that that was a very good point, that our both chiefs brought that up as when we just asked, oh, so who buys for minors? There was no hesitation. It's older men buying for younger girls. Hmm. Liquor sellers in both communities follow the rules laid out by the ABC board around selling to minors, which essentially means they are policing themselves around this issue, which is something that we are very lucky for in both of our communities. We don't have a problem with liquor sellers giving alcohol to minors or not following the laws around that. Then the substance youth are most likely to be using in combination. So when they receive an MIC, what else are they likely to be using? And that was both marijuana and tobacco. And then, not surprisingly, unsupervised gatherings are where youth are most likely to receive an MIC. Then we did the same thing with bar owners in both Wrangell and Petersburg. We interviewed two bar owners in Petersburg and three bar owners in Wrangell. And we were looking to see we were asking them around topics like economic availability, retail availability, promotion, and again, community norms. So both communities' bars are open 7 days a week. They all have policies on not serving those who appear inebriated. They all clearly advertise they don't sell alcohol to minors. All bars have a bar bell, which is actually sort of a funny Southeast Alaska thing. Like when we're together with the other grantees and we bring up the idea of the bar bell, nobody else knows what they are. But it turns out if you ring it, you buy a drink for everybody in the bar. And then all bars sponsor community events. Ways that our communities differ, and these are all, again, key informant interviews, so these are the bar owners reporting this information. Reportedly, Wrangell bar bills are rung more often. Reported average bar tabs are higher in Petersburg. Petersburg bar owners report more average fights per month. They also report 86ing more patrons. And then when we look at demographics, here in Wrangell, longtime locals are most likely to be the demographic that's visiting the bar year-round. And then in the summer, we have more fishermen and cannery workers, whereas in Petersburg, fishermen are the most common demographic in the bars year-round. So then we took all of this information, and this was actually the very, very summarized version, and we sat down with our Super Coalition members, and we read it, and we went through and we prioritized. So what we had to do is we had to come up with priority consequence. So you can think of your priority consequences like the problem, and then the intervening variable is the why. So if our priority consequences, what is the number one consequence in our community caused by alcohol abuse? The intervening variable says why. Why is this a problem? And then our contributing factor says specifically here, why does this happen? So when we were looking at adults, we had to, again, prioritize a consequence. And after going through all of our information, we had some sheets with scoring. Our Super Coalition settled on alcohol-related domestic violence as our priority consequence. And our intervening variable, why has this happened, is community norms around heavy and binge drinking among adults. And when we look at the contributing factors, they are acceptance of heavy drinking, so we work hard, we play hard, a lack of knowledge about what constitutes heavy and binge drinking, and then a lack of resources for prevention and intervention of alcohol-related domestic violence. And the same thing with youth, except the state asked us to keep our priority consequence just as youth alcohol use. So when we look at our, again, intervening variable, it was social availability. We know these kids are getting alcohol through social sources. They're not buying it. And we know that youth sneak or steal alcohol that older age friends provide to minors. And some of that here in Wrangell and in Petersburg that we see is really that kids hang out with a larger group of friends. So it might be your best friend's brother who's now 21, who went off to college, who came back and brought alcohol to a party. And then older men providing for younger girls. So wrapping up our step one, we did a community readiness assessment. We interviewed a whole bunch of people. I provided you with that list. I won't bore you with reading it. And what we were looking for was how ready are our communities to address the issues of alcohol-related domestic violence and youth alcohol consumption. What we know is that if a strategy is going to be successful, we have to match it to where our community is. And we found that in both communities, we're at a stage four, which is essentially at a pre-planning stage of readiness to address these issues. So moving forward, we're working to identify strategies for interventions, and we're continuing to focus on building our community partnerships. That's what brought us here today. We are doing our Wrangell speaking tour. We did a speaking tour in Petersburg in October. We're trying to hit all of those people who provided us with letters of support. So the city of Wrangell provided us with a letter of support when we were applying for our grant funding, and now we're here kind of letting our community partners know where we are and where we're going. Any questions?
Just a statement, I find it very refreshing that we have a bar owner in this town that is a member of that coalition, and I think that's will be quite unique.
Oh, it is. He actually ran in with us to our face-to-face grantee meeting and received a standing ovation because he has been really indispensable. And actually, even at that, in the meetings in Anchorage, you know, when people would have questions, he was there to answer them. And that is an amazing thing. You would be amazed with things you don't know about selling alcohol. I'm going to be honest.
There's a lot going on.
When we were interviewing him doing his key informant, it was a wealth of information that not only for us, but when we would go back to the state and say, I mean, like, did you people know this? And everybody was like, no, we had no idea. So it really is very, very helpful for us.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
And keeping us up to date on
and
what
don't
is
I have left
happening.
Plenty of copies of this PowerPoint. Just in case,
we all got one. Before they
end. We want you to be very informed. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Next on the agenda is a roll call, please.
Assembly members McCloskey.
Here.
Stowe.
Here.
Here.
Wienerspoon?
Here.
Stokes?
Present.
Privet?
Here.
Jack?
Here.
And Mayor McConkey.
Here. Amendments to the agenda. Are there any amendments to be offered? Okay, hearing none. Item five, consent agenda.
No, under four, there's conflict of interest. And since we just had this presentation, Ramey's Bar and Liquor Store is up under the communications as a consent agenda item, and as the parent of Ramey, some may consider that that's a conflict of interest, so.
Well, thank you for bringing it forward. I don't feel that it is. What are the feeling of the rest of you saying?
I don't feel something.
You don't receive any financial.
No.
Then I don't consider it a conflict of interest.
Okay. So we have decided you don't have one.
Okay.
All right. I need a motion, please.
I move to approve the agenda items listed under the consent agenda, those marked with an asterisk. 6A, 7A, 7B, 7C, 7D, 7E, 7F, 7G, 7H, 7I, 7J, and 13D.
Is there a second?
Second it.
Any discussion? Roll, roll, please.
Assemblymember Stokes?
Yes.
Privet?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
McCloskey?
Yes.
Stowe?
Yes.
Wienerspoon?
Yes.
And Mayor McConkey?
Yes. Okay. Borough Manager's report.
Just two items in addition to the written report. The holiday tree lighting was on Friday. It went superb, and the electric department did a great job with that. And then last night was the library's annual story time with Santa, and they had 130 people, which is the most they've ever had for that event.
So,
yeah, very popular.
Very good.
It was a tight squeeze. A lot of them were little, though, so that helped.
Yeah. Is there any questions of the borough manager of this report?
Nope.
None? Oh, okay. Moving right along. Borough clerk's file.
We don't have much. Just some items to mark your calendar, upcoming events. City Hall will be closed between December the 26th and December the 31st for the end of the year maintenance and archiving. And let's see, our next code review committee meeting will be held on January the 16th, 5 p.m. here in the assembly chambers. And just a reminder, I am planning on taking vacation from December the 24th through December 31st. And that's all I have.
Okay. Any questions in the borough clerk? Alrighty. I'm jumping ahead. Okay, Mayor and Assembly reports and appointments. Okay, first off, Assembly member reports. Anybody have anything to say? Something that you attended or anything? Go ahead, David.
Well, as you are aware, you were there, right, and James were, at the Thomas B. Power Authority meeting, the last meeting, the three of us went. And it was noted during that meeting and reading the memorandum of understanding that basically disbanded the four dam pool and created SEPA, that it is required by the end of December
2014
that a complete review of the SEPA and the memorandum of understanding be done, an independent review, not one done by SEPA or any community, but an independent review. And this will require all three communities to coordinate. So I would recommend that we get this on the agenda pretty soon to discuss this and kind of get it going so that we can get with the other communities and get this done before 2014. There's three communities involved. It's going to take some time.
Right. That's for sure. Well, I think we better look at that possibly right after the first of the year. Let's shoot for maybe February. Is that I'm going to stretch it out so that we don't have any conflicts.
We have two meetings in February, February the 12th and February the 26th.
Twelve, it's a...
I'll be here for either one.
Okay, the 12th of February.
Twelve February, fine.
That'll work. All right. Okay, any other assembly reports? I'd just like to say thank you to the Chamber of Commerce and inviting me down to read a poem at the tree lighting ceremony. It was a lot of fun, and I enjoy writing a poem each year. I was going to write one for the assembly like I've done in the past, but I'm sorry, I just had a few too many things on my plate, and I didn't get it done. But maybe I can write a New Year's poem for each one of us. How's that?
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, right. Okay.
I had a kind of a comment. It sounds like the CEPAS had their meeting and have kicked the can down the road a little bit. They're not going to address anything for 6 months. And that was the report I got tonight from down there. They did say that they were going to take the excess money from the de-huddled report and use that to improve their image.
Very good. All right. Well, that sounds good. Okay, and I'd just like to wish each and every person in this community a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. This is our last meeting of the year, and God bless each and every one of us. All right.
Wait, one more thing.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I won't be here in January. I'm going down to have my teeth fixed down south, so I'll be
gone. That's going to take a whole month.
No, I leave the 7th and come back the 24th, but that's due to Alaska Airlines, not me, totally. That's those blocks of dates to fly.
Your teeth look good to me.
Well, if you pay,
I get a better smile out of it.
And if you pay for it,
a smaller pocketbook.
All righty. Okay. So we will see you in February.
All right. Just put it in the box.
All right. Item 10B. Anybody else? Sorry. Okay. Item 10B. Appointment to fill the vacancies on the CEPA board. There are two seats that are available, a voting seat and a non-voting seat, alternate. I was originally going to step back from this because one of the people that put their name in, I am somewhat related to, Mr. Clay Hammer. I talked with Bill earlier today, and we talked at length, and considering that there is no monetary gain, no monetary value, if anything, it's going to cost the person money that goes to this board, because it always seems to do that. So I have changed my mind, and I will put forth the names for appointments.
Okay, can I also, that was the same reason why I did not step down, because there was no monetary value in it, because right. I also have one.
Okay, yes, I thank you
make
very
sure
much.
It's coming up.
I appreciate it. Now, for the voting seat, I would like to appoint Mr. Brian Ashton with the wishes, or if there's any other wishes for that seat from the assembly, please say so now. Otherwise, he will stand appointed.
I concur.
Okay. And for
Your Honor, do we need to actually make a motion on these?
No, it's a mayor's appointment with the.
That's fine.
I
know
have the motions on there only if
there is a question.
A question or, gotcha. Or more discussion.
No problem.
Okay. And for the non-voting member, the alternate member, I am going to appoint Clay Hammer. Is there anything that anyone else would like to say? Yes.
I would like to see Ernie Christensen on there. Ernie was involved in some of this earlier.
Okay.
And I just feel that he'd do a good job.
Alrighty.
Personal preference.
In that?
He's had that experience before too, so they both do, but.
All right, in that case, we will have a vote. The first, we will vote for Mr. Hammer, and then we will vote for Mr. Christian.
Okay.
Well, then in that case, Your Honor, I'd move to appoint Clay Hammer to fill the vacancy of the alternate member seat in the SEPA board until December 31st, 2013.
Okay, is there a seconder then?
I'll second it.
All right, it's been moved and seconded.
And under discussion, if I may, yes. Your Honor, the reason that I support Clay on this particular deal is that he is our superintendent of the utilities, and I think it's important. He's also a member of Thomas Bay. I just think that Mr. Ashton and Mr. Hammer together will make a good team representing our community.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Okay, let's have a poll vote on the first nominee.
Okay, Assembly Members Privet?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
McCloskey?
Yes.
Stowe?
No.
Wiederspin?
Yes.
Stokes?
No.
And Mayor McConaughey?
Yes. Okay, that passes by what? 2-4.
5-2.
5-2.
Okay, all right. Now, Mr. Tristan, it's not necessary to go through another vote. We have chosen our member. All right. Persons to be heard. Maria?
Mara.
I know that. Please come forward.
Thank you. I made a request to come and introduce
come up
myself.
To the podium and give your name and address for the record, please.
Absolutely. Marla Sanger. I live in Wrangell, Alaska, P.O. Box 1646.
Thank you.
I wanted to introduce myself. I've been here for about a month. I'm the new interim CEO for the Wrangell Medical Center. I'm delighted to be here. I'm proud to be here. And I have a pretty varied background that I think will serve me well and serve the community well. I've been a nurse's aide, worked my way through nursing school, worked in an infant intensive care unit for many years. I've been a health supervisor overseeing hospital operations after all the bigwigs went home at night and on the weekends and holidays. So I know what goes on after everybody's gone. I was an emergency department director at Children's Hospital in Seattle for 7 years. And I was a public health nurse in the 70s in Angoon for 3 years. I have also lived in Craig, spent mostly summers there, spent 1 year around there, and have a home there for the last 25 years. So most recently I'd gone from Children's Hospital to Peace Health. That was 10 years ago. And in that capacity, I've been a VP for quality, and I've done some quality program management. And I was invited to come and assist the Wrangell Medical Center, and I made up my mind in less than 24 hours that it's what I wanted to do. The initial term is for 1 year, and I'm very proud to be here.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm sure that you and Tim will end up with a very close working relationship.
We absolutely will.
All right.
You can count on that.
Thank you very much for coming in and interviewing. That's all. Anybody else would like to speak?
I'd just like to make a comment. Yes. I've been to, I think, two hospital board meetings when Ms. Singer was there, and I think it's kind of refreshing from what we had before, is what I'm going to say.
Well, thank you. Okay. Unfinished business, we have none. New business, item 13A, approval of the Wrangell Capital Project Priorities Request for FY 2013-2014.
Your Honor, I'd move to approve the capital project priorities as presented.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Tim, would you like to just...
Sure. As we discussed, we had a work session last week where last year's capital project list was presented. We took away the projects that were funded and or completed, identified additional projects, reviewed requests from different groups in the community, for different items to be included on the list, and then got a rough draft of what the assembly wanted as a priority list. I did include letters from WCA and also from Rich Rhodes, and we have, Rich is in the audience tonight, and Ernie's in the audience from WCA, who can speak to their two items, but they are both in the top 12 list of projects. And then we also identified another list of projects under $100,000 that we could give to the legislature as well, for when they have that extra money at the end that they're always looking for small projects to do with. Again, you're more or less adopting the list tonight, not necessarily the money or the anticipated funds on the list or the cost on those lists, because those will continue to be fine-tuned.
Sure. Mm-hmm. We would really like to adopt all the money, but...
Yeah, we'd like to get all the money. That would be great.
You know, I think this one is rather a unique approach. This is the first time on a capital list that we have ever identified 10 other projects under $100,000. And I think that's really going to be a selling point. I hope we're the only community that actually does that, so that they can go and find a real quick list if they need.
I'm pretty sure now it'll be on the radio and in the newspaper.
Well,
it'll be everywhere now.
Don't report that.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. It's on the radio.
Yeah.
Already?
Did you want to speak to your particular item?
Sure. Yeah, Ernie Christian, WCA president. Just want to thank the Borough Assembly for putting this on. I think we're number 6 on the capital project list. It's a complete carving shed. We are half funded right now. We're almost half, close to 500,000, and we anticipate the building cost about $1 million. It'll be approximately 30 feet wide, about 90 feet long, and it'll fill the lot next to the snow building. So it's the next step, and hopefully we'll break ground here in the spring. And if the state comes through, but we're also seeking other grant money too. And kind of the update on the rededication, we have over 750 people confirmed coming for May 3rd and 4th. So we not sure where they're all going to stay, but we get more inquiries every day. So we're asking for anybody who has RVs, apartments, houses, garages, tents. I think we're going to have a tent city out by the running track there probably. And people will be bringing their boats in the town, and I think they're also looking at, of course, the RV parks we have and the parks we have are going to be all full. Yeah. So it'll be real exciting. We're looking at like 8 war canoes are coming to town. On the 3rd, they're going to have some canoe races, and then the dedication starts at 10 a.m. on Saturday the 4th, and I believe they're going to come from somewhere towards the ferry terminal and paddle and land at the island to start the ceremony, and it'll last about 4 hours. So. It's pretty exciting. So it's a once in a lifetime experience, I think, for everybody in Rango, and we probably won't see it again in our lifetime. And the tribal house looks great. It's basically complete. They're going to start hanging up some artwork in there, and it looks phenomenal. So they did a great job.
Quick question on that carving shed. Is it going to run this way, the way they had where they were doing the adzing, or is it going to run alongside
the snow building lengthways? And it's actually a really unique building. The roof line is not like a shed. We call it a carving shed.
Right.
I think we're going to call it like a cultural center, because it has a classroom. And we're going to do, teaching youth how to carve and stuff. And there's a place to do like 2 totem poles on one side, and the other side's for storage. We can store like 4 to 5 totem poles. And we have about 28 totem poles to carve or restore. And also, we've talked this at the council level, but as an idea to throw out there in terms of carving on the dirt areas along Front Street, potentially we'd approach the city if you'd be acceptable to carving short totem poles, like 13-footer, and putting them in those areas along Front Street. Just looking forward,
idea.
I think it'd be a cool idea. It'd set Wrangell apart as a native community. Yeah. And it also, we could train youth how to carve totem poles too. So. Looking forward, that'll be a little bit down the street, but we thought it would be a great idea to approach the borough on that. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Rose, yes.
Just as a comment, the letter also that WCA sent, that Ernie sent, and he pointed out the 18-plus jobs that's been created and stuff, and so hundreds of thousands of dollars have been spent in the community in this whole process, and it's a real boon to the overall economy of Wrangell, and it's very much appreciated.
Mr. Rhodes?
Rich Rhodes, PO Box 705, Superintendent of Wrangell Public Schools. Just wanted to say thank you for allowing us to be on your list. We've been working hard on this through the Department of Education. They're not funding these projects at this level. This is our last year. After 4 years, we have to redesign, redevelop that project and put it back out. And so we're not giving up on the CIP list. We're working hard in Juneau to get them to fund that. But we also wanted to be able to tell our legislators that we've applied through the city and borough as well. And so that is a strong plus for us to do that. So thank you very much for that support.
Any comments from the assembly? Just that we had a very good workshop. Tim had it very well laid out in large pieces of paper, and that was really neat. Not to mention the pizza. But at any rate, if there's no further comments, could we have a full vote, please?
Assembly members Jack.
Yes.
McCloskey.
Yes.
Stowe.
Yes.
Wiederspoon?
Yes.
Stokes?
Yes.
Cribbett?
Yes.
And Mayor McConnell?
Yes. Item 13B, proposed resolution.
Proposed resolution, a resolution of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, to accept a loan in the amount of up to $196,928 from the State of Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation, DEC.
I move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
That's $196,000.
Sorry.
Any comments?
Yes. Just a brief explanation for the listening audience. This was our number one priority on the capital projects list. We have applied for grants for this, but in the event that we don't receive the grant funding, we have been approved for a loan. We can use the loan money for match if we get the grants, and actually, by preliminarily approving the loan, it helps us score higher on the grant applications.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Assembly member Stowe?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Stokes?
Yes.
Cribbett?
Yes.
Wiederspoon?
Yes.
McCloskey?
Yes.
And Mayor McConnell?
Yes. Item 13C, approval to dispose of city surplus property.
Move to approve the items listed as surplus, that these items be advertised for bid as required under Wrangell Municipal Code Section 5.10.060, and to authorize the borough manager to dispose of any items not bid on in a manner in the best interest of the city.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Roll call, please.
Assembly member Stokes?
Yeah.
Cribbett?
Yes.
Wiederspoon?
Yes.
Stowe?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
McCloskey?
Yes.
And Mayor McConnell?
Yes. Item 13D was already approved under the consent agenda. We have attorney's file, none, and 15 executive sessions. Motion, please.
I move pursuant to 44.62.320C2, that we recess into executive session to discuss matters that may tend to prejudice the reputation and character of any person, specifically the borough clerk's evaluation.
Okay.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Assembly members Jack?
Yes.
Stokes?
Yes.
Cribbett?
Yes.
McCloskey?
Yes.
Wiederspoon?
Yes.
Stowe?
Yes.
And Mayor McConnell?
Yes. We will be in recess and return after the executive session at